Let's begin by reading from Judges 13. Judges 13. And I want to read the first 12 verses. "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him, and whence he was, neither told me he his name. I asked him not whence he was, neither told me he his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and thou drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife, and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child? And how shall we do unto him? Thus far the reading of Scripture. Let us pray together. Great God of heaven, we thank Thee so much for these moments together where we may study and converse about the important topic of improving communication in our marriages. Lord, how we all need that, for no matter how good our marriage is, we need and we benefit from better communication. Give us insight into that also from the history we've read from Judges 13, and help us to make the appropriate practical applications. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our subject then is communication. How to improve it with our spouses. Perhaps this is the or one of the most important topics that we've considered so far in these 20 plus messages. One of the most common complaints as a pastor that I receive is, my husband won't talk to me. My wife doesn't understand me. A lack of communication. And often the wife will say, my husband does well at work. He does fine at work. He does fine among his peers and colleagues. But somehow he turns into a silent type when he comes home. And so people in marriages become lonely and depressed. And they feel like they have to go elsewhere to find communication. Now, Often, disappointment and disillusionment are the underlying causes of breakdown in communication. Often people have great plans and high ideals when they enter into marriage. And as they get used to each other, and they get more and more like ships passing in the night, and crawl into their own worlds, and take each other for granted, communication dissipates. The channels of communication are all but closed, even though there's a crying need in both people's inmost beings for communication, companionship, sharing, fellowship. Well, this is not the way, of course, you understand that God intended marriage to be. Man is a social being. And God created marriage to be a close, intimate relationship. Solitude in marriage is not God's design. So what types of communication should we develop in marriage? Well, I've listed four of them for you on the outline. First of all, we need to learn to develop intellectual communication. To live on the growing edge intellectually is important in every marriage. Often what happens when a woman stays home and tends to several smaller children is that she actually develops a craving for fellowship with her husband on an adult level so that she can remain stimulated in her mind. And so this intellectual relationship becomes important, that you talk to each other about the issues of the day, that you talk to each other about ideas of child rearing, about ideas how to make your marriage better, other things that may stimulate you intellectually. Talk about subjects or interests or hobbies or things from the Bible that you can learn and grow with each other. Another type of communication we need to work on is, of course, physical communication. How often men and women don't see eye to eye physically. We talked before about sexual intimacy, so I don't need to repeat all that here. But very often, isn't it true that the man in particular feels like his wife isn't responding sufficiently enough? And she feels like he's only interested in her body and not in developing a real relationship. This is a common problem. And well, maybe they're still having sexual intimacy from time to time, but it's not nearly as satisfying as it could be, or as frequent as it could be. And both have problems on both sides communicating. Sometimes husbands and wives don't speak at all about it to each other. Don't even tell each other what satisfies and what doesn't. And so there's a wall built up, even in the midst of physical intimacy. Thirdly, we need to develop an emotional communication. Emotional communication. You see, if the man comes home from work and immediately goes to read the newspaper and neglects his wife altogether, if his wife doesn't understand what he's doing, it's not agreeable to her, if there's a tension that evolves because of that, and she feels rejected and neglected, he spent all this day talking with people, and now he comes home and he can't talk with me. She feels emotionally slighted. The man, of course, from his perspective, says, I've been talking to people all day long. I'm tired of talking. And I'll talk with you after supper. But if they never communicate those various needs, they don't come to an agreement on this. Maybe they will come to an agreement if they talk about it. And the wife says, it's fine for you, my husband. Understand the pressures of your work. You go ahead and read the newspaper when you come home after you give me, of course, a warm kiss and a warm embrace. And then after supper, yes, after family worship, stay around in the family room and we'll chat for a while. And I'll look forward to that time. I know that time is coming. We're going to meet each other's emotional needs there. That's great. Or maybe it's not till we later in the evening. Maybe we have a set time when the kids go to bed that we have our time of emotional support of each other in conversing about all our feelings about the day. That's fine too. Find an agreement. Find a system that works for both of you. But the point is, talk about it. Know what to expect. Communicate your emotional needs and come to some agreement about them. Now, a fourth level is, of course, spiritual communication. And spiritual communication is absolutely critical to have a really great marriage. I often tell people in private counseling, if you only want a B or B minus marriage, you can probably reach that in some ways through God's common grace if you develop all these other areas of communication. But if you want a straight A marriage, you need to learn to communicate about the depths of the soul. What's going on inside your heart? What you're missing? What you need spiritually? How you feel in your relationship with God? You need to be able to pray freely with each other. As freely with your spouse as you could by yourself. What a wonderful thing that is when husband and wife may both pour out their hearts before God with great freedom. If you communicate well spiritually, you see, that becomes a natural lifestyle. To talk about the things of God. To begin to think more and more like about the things of God. How sweet that is. Have a spouse who thinks like you spiritually. And you can correct each other and encourage each other and mold each other and give security in a relationship. It gives depth. It gives the greatest depth. And you see then other forms of communication improve as well. Emotional and physical and intellectual all improve when the spiritual is intact and growing. So, let these be words of introduction to this important subject. These are types of communication that we need to work on. Now I have another section here, and now we get into the heart of it. How do we improve all this? Well, part of the problem is overcoming boredom and at the same time working at promoting real conversation. Overcoming boredom and promoting real conversation. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, if you've just been married for 4 months, the overcoming boredom thing sounds foreign to your ears. You're still in the freshness of talking with your husband as if you just met him, and you did just a few years ago. But if you've been married 20 or 30 years, and he's come home from work now, this is day number 4,522, and you asked him for the 4,522nd time how his work went, and he does nothing more but grunt as he's done 4,521 other times, it can get a little boring. So, often what happens, you see, is when people come to you as a pastor, they say, we just can't talk anymore. I say, well, do you ask him how his day? Oh, yeah, but it's always the same thing. And he always talks about his thing. Always about the projects he's working. He never asks me any questions. And you see, what happens is you get in a rut. And one person is not, or both, sometimes both people, that's really tragic, are not working at really communicating. So, the man comes home, and let's say the woman's a really good communicator here, and she asks him how his day went. She hears all about his day. Wonderful. He opens up. He's feeling great. Wow, what a wonderful wife I have. She's really interested in my work. She tells him everything. She effectively listens to him. Gets the boss approved of his work that day, and he can share that. And she says, that's wonderful. And he never turns it around, never asks her a question about her day. Well, how many times is that going to go on before she starts feeling emotionally hurt? And eventually, internal bitterness grows up inside of her, and the ultimate result is that she begins to lower her level of work at communicating because she's weird. She's bored with it. She says, he's just a self-centered guy. He's just into himself. And so she stops communicating. And then they finally come to the pastor at the end of the road and they say, we can't talk with each other at all. So, I don't know, of course, what your marriage is like in the home. And I would suspect that there are people sitting here who have reached different levels of this downward spiral. So let me say to you that the important thing today, this morning, is to, for God's sake, for your relationship's sake, for your own sake, for your children's sake, make a commitment in your mind before God. I'm going to work. If you both do that, you see, then two people are doing it, and then there's possibilities for the future. I'm going to work on this whole area of communication. I'm going to make a commitment. See, that's what my point A is. Confront your lack of commitment. I'm going to make a commitment to work on this marriage by communicating with my spouse. Now, how does that begin? Well, it begins by initiating a conversation. And pardon me if I sound too simple here, but probably some of us need this. How do you start a conversation? If you're married for 20 or 30, 40 years, and you're not communicating anymore, where do you begin? Well, you begin by being other person-centered. Other person-centered. So you begin by asking questions or making statements or exclamations about that person, about that person's life. So do you have to consciously think of things to say then? Maybe at the beginning you do. Maybe it doesn't come naturally. You have to approach your partner. Ask your partner a question. How was your day? Ask it in a pleasant voice. Ask it with eye contact, showing that you care, with a facial expression that is not bored, showing you're interested. In a word, ask it like you asked these questions when you were dating. Try to go back to where you were. In marital counseling, I often say, well, how high was your relationship on a scale of 1 to 10? If this door is, bottom of the door is 0 and the top of the door is 10, how high was it at any point? Sometimes people whose relationship is now 1 or 2, they will say, well, I think it was a 9. Well, the woman will say, I think maybe it only got up to be a 7 because we never really did communicate that well. All right. But you can get back up to a 7 or a 9, can't you? If you learn to relearn what you once had. So you go back to communicating with the kind of freshness you had before. Now, will that be a little bit artificial? Maybe it will at the beginning. Will it sound, will you be a little cynical when you hear your partner purposely asking you questions and you say, I know where that's coming from. That's coming from Sunday morning adult family living class. Okay, you enjoy the humor of that moment. That's great. And just laugh about it together and say, yes, at least I'm trying. I want to work at this. So you both know it's a little bit of a game at the beginning, but you're deeper than the game is you're both admitting we want to communicate better. That's the important thing. So don't hold it against the other person, you see, when it sounds a little bit artificial. And the worst thing you can do at this point, the very worst thing you can do, is to respond in some negative way. I'll never forget working with a couple. And this man just was absolutely quiet in the home. Wouldn't say a thing. I spent a whole session with him. A whole session with him. Trying to show him how to communicate with his wife. I role played with him. And in her presence. So they left. And lo and behold, this dear man actually swallowed all his pride. And the next night he came home from work. He walked in the door and he tried it. He said to his wife, "So how was your day today?" And she looked at him. She said, "What do you want?" I said, "You said what?" You know, that was a huge step for this guy. Of course, she realized, and this is what she told me, he was just saying that because of the counseling session. He didn't really mean it. Well, that's nonsense. The poor man was trying. He was taking a step forward, and she just squashed it. Her own happiness, her own future. Don't do that. Initiate a conversation. Try to initiate it with questions. Get things that your spouse is interested about. Say, "How'd this go today? How did that go today? So you did some errands today. Thank you. Thank you for doing all those errands. You saved me so much time. I really appreciate that. Do you ever get tired of doing these errands?" And she said, "Yes, I get really tired." I say, "Well, I just want to let you know I really appreciate them." And you just reassure her. And she begins to feel appreciated, you see. And do this with every area of life. There's 10,000 things to talk about. Because you all have feelings every day about all kinds of things. It's just a matter of working at it, you see. Drawing out the questions again. Now, I like to put it this way. And this, don't take this too scientifically. But in counseling, I use this a lot. And it seems to work. So I'm going to pass it on to you. Generally speaking, I'm painting with a very broad brush now. There are three levels of communication with our spouses. There is the mundane level. The entry level, I call it. And the entry level goes something like this. "Oh, what a beautiful day it is today, isn't it?" Or "Good morning." Or "How was your day?" It's the mundane things. Those things are important. You've got to ask those questions. You've got to make those statements. You've got to reflect on common everyday things. But you don't want to stop there, do you? You want to reach a deeper level. The deeper level I call the emotive level, for lack of a better term. The level that reaches your emotions. The level that reaches your feelings. How do you feel about something? It's not only an intellectual level where you share knowledge, but you get beyond that and you say, "But how are you going to respond to this thing we're talking about, this intellectual level? What's your real convictions about this?" It brings out the real you. Who you are. And what you expect of the relationship. That kind of thing. Then you're getting into real conversation. Now we men are a little weaker here overall than women. Women tend to be more in tune with their feelings. Sometimes we men don't even know how we feel about things. And you women have to understand that a little better. We're not natively as inclined in this area as you are. But men can grow in this area with the gentle and loving prodding of their wives. If a woman tries to force it, it's hopeless. A man will go back into his shell. But the important thing is, you see, that you're really communicating. Now, you women, you know immediately when that's happening. You know when you're having a real talk with your husband. Because it gets to this level, doesn't it? And you men, you sense it too. You had a pretty good talk with my wife tonight. We talked about some real things. We really communicated. We really connected about what to do with the Johnny's problem. We connected about the problem we had with reading the newspaper before. So we talked it over. We came to a solution. We had a real conversation. And hopefully that will get to a deeper part in the same category of emotive level, where you can talk about real ideas, ideas that are forming in your mind, ideas that impact not just your relationship, but spill over to society, and things like that. And then there is this third, deepest level, where you really speak from heart to heart about spiritual things, lie at the center of this, but all that flows out of the Christian life in its deepest meaning. Speaking to one another about your own shortcomings, your own failures, your own strengths, complimenting each other in a real and profound way. Communicating, laying bare your heart, telling your wife, your husband, things you wouldn't tell other people. The inmost struggles, the hopes, the fears, the desires. The spiritual level of the core being, where you're not vulnerable, or you are vulnerable, but you're not protecting yourself anymore. There's no padding around you. And you're unveiling your heart from heart to heart. That's what you want to get to. Now, how do you get there? Well, you not only learn how to initiate a conversation, but secondly, on the outline, you notice that you need to focus a bit on feelings. Now, feelings aren't everything, and feelings can be very sinful, and you shouldn't overvalue feelings. Feelings always have to be subjected to truth. They have to be grounded in the Scriptures. Sometimes we need to correct lovingly each other's feelings. So I don't want to worship at the shrine of feelings here. But feelings are important, and we must value them rightly. Now, when you probe the feelings of each other, let's say your husband's a lawyer, for example, and he just won a case in court that day. He came home and he said, "How did it go?" You're the wife. And he said, I won the case. Now, how do you respond to that? Well, you could respond lots of ways. You could say, "Well, I'm a little bit resentful. There you go again. You've got such an important job and you're always winning cases. I'm sitting home doing these rotten dishes." Well, that's a disaster. You could also say, I'm just so proud to be your wife because you won another case. A tad better, not much better. Or you could say, "Great, congratulations. You won the case. I really feel good for you." No, that's probably a B response. The last one was a C, the first one was a D. But an A response would be, "Well, thank you for sharing that. How'd you feel after you won it? How'd you feel? And what happened? Share it with me. I'm really interested." And your boss, I'm sure he's very pleased with your work. What did he say after it was over? So he begins to share the feelings. They begin to come out. Now it works the other way around too. So I come home from work here, or you're the, well, okay, I'll be the man. I come home from work, and Mrs. Lubbers had a rough day at home. Okay, so I ask her as I walk in, "Well, how was your day, Sue?" Wasn't a good day. What's the problem?
"Well, I went to visit your mom, you know, and I lived next to her for 30 years, and she doesn't even know me anymore."
Oh, wow.
"She didn't know who I was."
Wow. That's tough.
"And then I went to get gas in the car, and the top rolled right under the car. Now, how am I supposed to get the top of the gas tank from under the car? Did you ever try to do that?
Can't say that I have."
"And then I got this place of ivy and it itches. And that makes me ornery." "And then this is really, I tried to call you on the phone and you didn't answer. You know those two goats you bought me this week?"
Oh, wow.
And that's true when I cry.
Let's sit down and talk these things over. I didn't even have to affect to listen to her. She just comes out with it. Boom.
And I'm so thankful that you're home to listen.
Great, great. Okay, that's a very interesting illustration right here, because you see, some women and some men will open up very freely. I just mentioned to Sue that I might ask her, just as we walked in, I might ask her to role play with me just a moment. Obviously, she had a chance to think about that a few moments, but... Do you...
That was a real thing.
That was a real... Oh! Thank you. Thank you for sharing. But the point is, you see, obviously, we just learned that she's expressive, that she has no trouble communicating her feelings. So, her husband, George, is George here? No, George isn't here. George is teaching. George will have no trouble getting her to express her feelings. And that's great. But some of you may have more difficulty, you see, getting your wives to express your feelings. So, it depends on how you go about it, how you work out, how each person is. Same thing in the man's world. Some men are much more naturally expressive than others. So, if your man is not very expressive, and you have to pull it out of him, you say, the first thing you have to do is you have to accept that. That's the way he is. You have to work a little harder. But then the second thing you say is, I'm going to take the challenge. And I'm going to make him a man who feels so comfortable being around me, who feels so free to speak to me, that at least in my presence, he's going to want to talk. And he's going to want to pour out his heart. He's going to feel acceptance. He's going to feel my interest. He's going to feel my love. So that's the way to do it, you see. You don't compare it with other spouses, but you actually say, I'm going to work with my spouse, and we are going to speak together heart to heart. We're going to value our feelings. We're going to express them. We're going to reflective listen, as it's called, or effective listen. Now, because Sue poured all this out so spontaneously, you didn't even get a chance to check out my reflective listening skills.
You can do it the other way.
Oh, you can do it the other way.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, let's pull it out. Yeah, we got two more minutes. Okay. How was your day, dear?
What do you care?
Well, I do care. I'm your husband, and I care very much about your day.
You really do?
Yes, I do.
It wasn't very good.
It wasn't? What happened? Tell me about it.
Lots of things.
Like what?
You really want to know?
Absolutely. Let's sit down. Come over here. Let's sit down. Let's talk about it. Can I get you a cup of coffee? You don't drink coffee? Tea? All right, let's get tea. Okay, get her a cup of tea. Okay, tell me about it. Now, okay, you're holding hands. Tell me about it. What's bothering you?
I don't think you'll like me if you know. I don't want to tell you. You're going to think poorly of me.
Dear, we've been married now for 47 years. You know that I care about you. You know that I really want to know. Just tell me what's on your heart.
Why are these bad feelings towards your mom today?
I see. What kind of feelings?
Well, they weren't very nice, and so I feel bad about it. And I know they were wrong of me to feel that way. And I know God didn't approve, and you're not done either.
Well, I'm afraid I've got a lot of bad feelings about a lot of people too many times too, so I can understand. So why don't you just talk about it and tell me what kinds of feelings you had?
I can really listen to you. Can you
that? You can really tell me, yes. And it's going to stay confidential. And let's help each other walk through them. Okay, see, that type of thing. So you just keep drawing out and reflecting the person's feelings. And you draw them out. You reassure them they're in a comfort zone. And you get your spouse then to tell you what's on her heart. The effect isn't just that you'll communicate better. The effect is love will grow. Love will grow. And that will lead you as you begin to work on these outward things, that will lead you into the area which I wanted to reach today, I'm not going to reach, is to share from the heart in spiritual fellowship. And next time we're going to have to look at that, growing deeper. And then, meanwhile, if you study this week, the portion I read, I want to use Manoah and his wife as an example of their effective communication skills. Study what Manoah's wife did in this passage. It's really quite profound to draw out her husband and include him in this visit, this wonderful visit of the angel who came to see her two times, and how they communicated with one another in this history. Let's pray. Almighty and gracious God, we bow before Thee in these moments, and we thank Thee so much for the gift of communication. And we grieve, Lord, that we have so often selfishly trampled underfoot that gift, and we have become poor communicators through our own selfishness and our own world that revolves around ourselves. Help us to break through that world. Help us to be really caring about our spouses. Help us to truly communicate, to really love them, and to want to know them profoundly and intimately, and hear their deepest feelings, desires, and fears, and hopes, and joys. And Lord, help us to regain the excitement in our marriage, the excitement of discovery, of coming to know things about our spouses that we really didn't know, or we had forgotten, or we had overlooked. And help us above all, as we will see next time, God willing, to reach that deepest level of intimate spiritual conversation. Lord, help us to do that and show us how that goes. And convince every married couple in our midst this morning that they can really reach this point, even if it is stumbling or stuttering at the beginning. Help them to make the effort to open up about the things of God and the desires of the soul. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.